Hello and welcome to the Ghosts and Folklore podcast. I'm Mark Rees, and on each episode, I investigate a different, weird, and wonderful subject. And on this episode, we are going to explore the mysterious corpse birds. Yes, corpse birds, a strange supernatural phenomena in which ghostly winged creatures terrify unsuspecting victims by suddenly appearing and serving as harbingers of certain imminent death. So, a nice, cheerful subject. And without further ado, let's jump straight into the spooky real-life accounts of people who have experienced these corpse birds. And to begin, at the beginning. And back in the 19th century, a Welsh folklorist wrote that the most common death prognosticator throughout Wales in the present day, and bear in mind that by present day they mean over a century or so ago now, but still, the most common death prognosticator throughout Wales is the corpse bird. And if you're wondering what death prognosticator means, well, besides being something of a tongue twister to say, the folklorist who wrote those words clearly wasn't thinking about the poor podcasters who in centuries to come would have to speak those words aloud, or maybe they were and they just didn't care. But death prognosticator is a rather fancy, a rather flowery way of simply saying death omen. A very popular subject on this podcast, this was the most common form of death omen, which is something that prophesizes a future event. And not just any event, quite a specific event, it foretells a death. So at its most simple, a corpse bird is a death omen that foretells an imminent death. And I find it interesting that in that description, these corpse birds are described as the most common of death omens, which might come as a surprise to regular listeners, because I've spoken about many, many death omens over the years, and the most common on this podcast would have to be the corpse candles, y canwyll corff, closely followed by the phantom funerals, or y toili in Welsh, which I've spoken about on numerous episodes now, hundreds potentially, well not hundreds, but certainly many if you want to go back through the archives. And as their names suggest, these particular death omens do indeed look like candles. The corpse candle looks like a candle, the phantom funeral looks like a funeral. And so, as you've probably worked out by now, the corpse bird or the death bird does indeed look like a bird, like a regular bird, the kind of birds you might be able to see outside your window right now. And maybe that is why they are so numerous. Maybe that is why they are so often seen, because they can quite easily be mistaken for regular birds. Because while it's quite difficult to mistake a corpse candle, a glowing ball of light floating around in the sky on its own, for a regular candle, and it's quite difficult to mistake a phantom funeral, a funeral made up of spooky ghost-like figures burying bodies in the middle of the night, to a regular funeral, corpse birds are slightly trickier to spot because they look like birds. And don't just take my word for it. Here's a handy description from our folklorist, who tells us that the peculiar bird known as Deryn Corff, which is the Welsh language for corpse bird, was a bird flapping its wings against the window of the room in which there is a sick person. So if there's somebody lying ill in bed and a bird starts flapping at the window, this could well be a corpse bird. This was, we are told, considered an omen of death. Even in the present day, again, we're talking about the Victorian age, but even in the present day, most people dread to see or hear a bird flapping its wings against the window when there is a sick person in the house. Although they do add at the end of this description, and it's something I've already alluded to, not every bird is a corpse bird. You'll be glad to know. Not every bird is a corpse bird. I guess the tricky thing is, if somebody is dying in a room and a bird does start flapping its wings against the window and the person does indeed die soon afterwards, how are you to know if that was really a corpse bird or just some bewildered pigeon who got lost on its flight and just happened to bump into your window and had a good old flap? Well, assuming you haven't got the power of flight and you can't chase after this bird and inspect it and ask it to its face, there are other ways of working out if indeed this was a corpse bird or not. And handily, our folklorist does have some examples of these birds being encountered in the wild that might just help with our identification, because as he said, they were numerous and there are numerous examples. And in one such example, an old woman called Miss Griffiths from Pembrokeshire, more specifically from Henllan near Eglwys Wrw, told our trusty folklorist that the bird that came flapping against her window before the death of her father, and also before the death of each of her three uncles, was a little grey one. A little grey one. And what's interesting there for me? Well, there's two interesting points to unpack, really. But first of all, this wasn't a one-off affair. This wasn't some random bird. Well, maybe it was a random bird, but it wasn't a single random bird that just appeared once. It happened on four occasions to four family members, possibly four brothers, certainly one father and three uncles, four men who we can assume were probably roughly of the same age, and they all had this bird appear right before the time of their death, and they were witnessed by this Miss Griffiths. And it does make you wonder, well, it makes me wonder, maybe not you, but it does make me wonder if whether this bird made a fifth appearance when the end was nigh for Miss Griffiths herself. I guess we'll never know, but if it did appear, I hope it brought a little bit of comfort and didn't scare the life out of her, quite literally, I guess, in a sense, because by this point she would certainly have known what this sight meant. She knew that whatever supernatural power had been sending her these signs was giving her one final omen. In which case, maybe it wouldn't have brought much comfort. Maybe she was screaming in terror at the sight of this bird, like the end of an episode of The Twilight Zone or something. But let's keep things positive. Let's look on the bright side. I'm sure if indeed she saw it, it brought her comfort. And moving on, the second interesting point about that description was that this bird is described as a little grey one, as she put it, a little grey bird. So whereas the name corpse bird might conjure up images of a crow, of a raven, something Edgar Allan Poe might write about, a big, dark, menacing bird, or maybe not even strictly a bird as such, maybe something a bit more supernatural. Maybe you were thinking of a skeletal bird with bones showing, but I think the assumption is this bird would have been more intimidating, let's say, than a small little bird. Something like an eagle, maybe more scavenger-like, something like a vulture. Not that you see many vultures in Wales. If you do see a vulture in Wales, it's taken a wrong turn somewhere. They were heading for Texas, and they turned left instead of right, and now they are freezing their feathers off in Tonopandy. But nevertheless, that description does make it sound more like a sparrow, maybe like a robin redbreast, a much more familiar bird in Welsh folklore. But the reason I'm going on about the size so much is there are two key points here. First of all, this would, of course, be a lot less frightening having a sparrow flapping at your window than a vulture flapping at your window, especially if you live in Tonopandy. But secondly, these small birds are, of course, much more common. As I am recording this episode, it is springtime outside my window. The birds are busy making nests and laying eggs and all the rest of it out there right now. Now, none of them have hit my window or flapped their wings at my window yet, touch wood, but they are certainly out there and they are certainly quite common. Which again goes back to the whole idea as to why these death omens would be so numerous. Now, heading back into the folkloric archives, heading back a century or so again, and our folklorist tells us that in their research, they met people in almost every district throughout the country, so across Wales, who had heard the flappings of the mysterious bird before a death. So they knew people across Wales. This wasn't a local affair. People across the land. And also, as you'll soon discover, I don't want to spoil anything, but these birds were not restricted to Wales outside of the land as well. But before all of that, let's look at another account in Wales. And this one comes to us from a Mr. Rees. A Mr. Rees, which is a fantastic name, but to the best of my knowledge, no relation. This is a Mr. Rees from Llandysil in modern-day Ceredigion. Sadly, not a Mr. Rees from Portalbert like myself. But this Mr. Rees from Ceredigion recalled how many years ago, so I'm guessing we're looking at the first half of the 1800s here, that there lived in that part of the country an old woman known as Nell Gwernant. The old woman at one time had an only son, a young lad who was very dear to her. One day, a certain bird came into the house quite suddenly and descended on the rim of the spinning wheel, flapping its wings. The old woman feared the bird was a precursor to death, and to her great sorrow, her only son soon died. So she was indeed spot on. This bird did seemingly appear to be a precursor to death. The bird didn't just flap its wings at the window, though. This time, it let itself into the house. Why wait for an invitation? Why flap about outside in the cold? Just let yourself in. Birds are not vampires. They don't need to be invited in. They can go where the heck they want, wherever their wings can take them. It flew straight into the house, landed on that spinning wheel, flapped those wings, and by this point, we all know, of course, what that wing flapping means. We know that it's not good. This woman certainly knew that it wasn't good, and it definitely wasn't good for her son, who died soon afterwards. And this, of course, in and of itself, isn't conclusive proof that yes, indeed, this bird was indeed supernatural, but maybe the weight of evidence will grow throughout this episode as we look at more and more cases. And I should point out that while I've focused on death so far, because that is the topic of this episode, a bird coming into the house, we are told, is also a sign of a storm. So it's not just death. This bird can also bring with it a storm, which, frankly, is much better than death. If you had to pick one of them, storm or death, I know which one I'd go for. But as mentioned, this isn't a storm episode. I have recorded several other weather-based episodes if you'd like more stormy folklore. And let's get back to specifically the death omens. And we are told that birds as precursors of death seem to follow Welsh people to all parts of the world. See, I did promise some more international spookiness coming up, and folklore does tell us that one way in which you could encounter the corpse bird abroad is that if a Welsh person took it with them. Not literally, not packing birds in suitcases, but these birds seemingly could follow a Welsh person wherever they jetted off to throughout the world. So if they emigrated, if they moved to another country, if I go on holiday to Switzerland later this year, or maybe even that New England in the fall trip I keep going on about, these birds, these death omens, these corpse birds could potentially come along with me. And our folklorist has some examples. In fact, they record how a corpse bird appeared in Perth, in Western Australia. Never mind Switzerland, this is a much further destination for this poor corpse bird to flap its wings to. But it appeared in Perth, in Western Australia, before the death of a Welsh lady in that city. And in another far-flung example, or far-flung for me, it might be just down the road from you, but the folklorist who recorded this had themselves been to Patagonia. They'd been to Patagonia, that part of South America where a lot of Welsh settlers made home, and a real stronghold of Welsh culture and Welsh language to this day. And they recalled the following tale from their younger years in Patagonia. And to quote, two Welsh gentlemen, Mr. Powell and Mr. Lewis Jones, a friend of the late Sir Love Jones Parry MP, were returning to the Welsh colony from Buenos Aires in a sailing vessel, heading over the waters back to Patagonia. And when the ship came within a few miles of the mouth of the River Chubut, the captain found it necessary to remain in the open sea that day, as the tide was too low to enter the river over the bar just then. Mr. Jones and Mr. Powell, however, those impatient Welshmen, left in a small boat manned by Italian sailors. But when they were within a certain distance of the land, the sea was very rough. That captain was correct. The sea was rough. And can you believe it? A certain bird appeared suddenly on the scene. Mr. Powell pointed out the bird to his friend and said, "Do you see that bird? That's the bird of BM. We shall be drowned this very moment." Just as he spoke, the boat suddenly turned over, and the unfortunate speaker got drowned on the spot. The other men, however, were saved, and we are told that Mr. Powell, the single unfortunate person who drowned, was a gifted Welsh Roman Catholic gentleman who knew about 12 languages and was a friend of the President of the Argentine Republic. So, to recap quickly, The water was not safe to sail in that day, according to the captain of the main ship, who decided to hold back and wait for the conditions to improve. But those who wanted to get to land a little bit quicker jumped in a smaller boat manned by Italian sailors, and shock, horror, a bird, a potential corpse bird appears in South America, and Mr. Powell recognizes this. Mr. Powell, who is described as a good, honest, Christian gentleman, like so many of these unfortunate characters, well, not character, this was a real person, like so many of these Welsh people at the time, a good, honest, upstanding, religious gentleman. Nevertheless, he could not escape his fate. He could not escape the corpse bird and, of course, the rough tides on the coast of South America. So, was it all a coincidence, or had a corpse bird indeed followed them from Wales over to Argentina? Well, in another case, a bit nearer to home this time, or a bit nearer to Wales, I should say, a bit nearer to my home, if, of course, you're listening in Argentina, slightly further away from you. But back in Wales, the Aberystwyth Observer reported that before the death of a Mrs. Fryer, Lady Price witnessed, and this is a high-profile witness here, Lady Price, no commoners like Mr. Rees and Mr. Powell in the last story, Lady Price noticed a bird hovering around Gogothan, which is a name that would have been much more recognisable to readers at the time. I'm sure there are some people in the Aberystwyth area today who will be familiar with it, but that is the name of the Price Estate in modern-day Ceredigion. The main house is still standing. It's a Grade 2 listed building, so if you are one of those people who likes to listen to this podcast and track down the real places where these things happened, this did indeed take place on the Price's estate. And it was there that Lady Price noticed this bird hovering around before the death of Mrs. Fryer, and at times it was flapping his wings at the window. So this is a specifically male corpse bird that we're dealing with, flapping its wings at the window and flying around the estate. And lo and behold, there was a fatality soon afterwards. So this can be seen as a potential form of proof that corpse birds are very democratic in their victims. Your class is irrelevant. Rich or poor, the corpse birds will get you, or at least visit you. And finally, to wrap up this episode, we've spoken a lot about birds flapping their wings before a death, but what about birds singing before a death? Because of course, birds do like to sing again, especially at this time of year. Spring is springing, the birds are singing. And while birds flapping kind of makes sense as an omen, you might think birds singing is slightly inappropriate ahead of a death. I mean, if somebody is breathing their last breaths on this earth, do they really want to hear a good old sing-song? Well, in our last case, which was published in the Welsh language originally in 1860, where it was described as a remarkable incident that concerned the death of the famous poet and clergyman Tegid. Now again, Tegid is a name that would have meant a lot more to people at the time. An iconic Welsh bard who would have been known by everyone in the area and across the land, if not further afield. And it was noticed one Sunday morning that Tegid was not in church. He was absent from church on the Lord's Day, which is unusual for any Welsh person at the time to be missing from church. As I've mentioned before, Christianity and Welsh culture, Welsh folklore are very much intertwined, but especially for such a famous clergyman as Tegid, for him to be missing from church, for him to be absent, was deeply concerning. In fact, there was only one thing that could keep him away from that church, and that was death. He was on his deathbed, and a neighbouring clergyman was taking the service in his place there in Nevin in Pembrokeshire. And it was during this service, as he was delivering the words of the Lord to the faithful, that his voice was suddenly drowned out by the beautiful song of a thrush that rose to a crescendo and filled the whole church. This beautiful birdsong was so loud, the words of the sermon could no longer be heard. And it was ascertained by the faithful on leaving the church, because of course they couldn't talk during the service, but as they were leaving, they were talking amongst themselves. And they ascertained that at that point, when the birdsong filled the church, that was the very moment the soul of Tegid left his body and entered the world of the spirits. Because such was the renown of this man, such was the renown of this faithful man of God, that the moment of his passing was marked there in the church with beautiful music. And as they discovered, it proved to be so. And on that uplifting note, we started on a bit of a downer, but on that uplifting note, we've reached the end of another episode of the Ghosts and Folklore podcast. Although, talking about downers, I do have a little bit of bad news to bring you, I'm afraid, which I will break to you gently. I will drop the bombshell as nicely as I can after all of the usual end of episode stuff. So let's get that out of the way. And if you enjoyed this episode and you haven't already, please consider pressing the subscribe button. And if you really enjoyed it, you can support it by rating it, reviewing it, and telling all your friends about it. And if you really, really enjoyed it, you can support the podcast going forward by treating me to a coffee via my website, which is always very much appreciated. If you'd like more Ghosts and Folklore, you can follow me on social media. I'm on all the main platforms, and as well as this podcast, I've also written a number of books about similar weird and wonderful subjects, which are available from all good bookshops, offline and on. And as for that bad news, well, I'm afraid to tell you I'm going to have to skip the next episode, which means if you are listening to these episodes in real time as they are published, the next episode will not be available in the usual 2 weeks, but will instead be published on May the 9th. So the next episode, if you're listening in real time, will be available on May the 9th. If you're listening on catch up, you couldn't care less because that future episode is already there waiting for you. But if you're listening in real time, May the 9th. And the reason for that, and I've always been very open and honest on this podcast, maybe a little bit too honest at times. I think I've mentioned before, but sometimes I have this habit of using this podcast almost like a therapy session where I can pour out all of the anxieties in my brain into this microphone and make thousands of other people around the world listen to the rubbish that's inside my head. But the reason I'm postponing the next episode is very simply because I am overwhelmed right now, and I will be overwhelmed for a little while. I've got deadlines left, right, and centre, and I've been firefighting for quite some time now, and it's reached the point where I really do need to step back, take a break from things, catch up, get on top of it, and then I'll be raring to go again in the future. Although there is some good news to go with the bad news, because if you do find yourself having withdrawal symptoms over the next few weeks, I've recorded quite a few guest appearances on other podcasts recently. I mean, I usually do quite a lot around Halloween time. That's when the radio stations and the TV channels and people get in touch. But I've done quite a few podcasts recently. Just this week, I was on the BBC's History Extra podcast, which I really enjoyed, and that's available now. That's called Welsh Mythology, if you want to check that one out. A couple of weeks ago, I was on Yvette Fielding's podcast, which, as somebody who can still remember watching the first series of Most Haunted back in the Livid TV days, that was a lot of fun. I've met and interviewed a lot of people involved with Most Haunted over the years, but I've never until now had a chance to speak with Yvette, so it was really nice to talk to her about Welsh ghosts, and that episode is also available now. And I was also on the Spooky Isles podcast earlier this year, another wonderful website. Go and check that one out. And basically, you can just search for my name and you can find all of these places I've been popping up like a bad penny, and I hope they will tide you over until I return. And now that I've said that aloud, maybe that's why I'm so overwhelmed at the moment. It's all these extra podcasts I'm doing on top of my own. But I will be back on May the 9th, and I will give you a further update then on how things are looking. And very quickly before I wrap things up, this is probably a good time to mention that one of the best things about doing this podcast is the amazing people around the world that I get to meet and all of the great correspondence I get. And I do get quite a lot of emails and social media messages and just various things over the internet from people. Some people I meet in person and we have a coffee and things, but I do get a lot of messages. And recently I do feel like I'm replying to everyone with the first opening line, which is apologies for the late reply, apologies for the late reply, apologies for the late reply. So I just want to put that out there now, that if anyone is waiting for a reply, apologies for the late reply, but don't think that I don't appreciate these messages. I do, in fact. Please send more. I love getting them. It's just, as mentioned, I'm slightly overwhelmed at the moment, and when I'm back on top of things, I will be super speedy once more, and I look forward to reading all of your messages. And on that note, if I really am that busy, I should stop sitting here talking rubbish into a microphone and thanking you all for listening and thanking you all for your messages and go and do some work. So it just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening. Diolch and varian am rando. I've been Mark Rees. This has been my Ghosts and Folklore podcast, beaming to you from Wales to the world. And remember, if you do notice a strange bird flapping its wings at your window, maybe the end is nigh. Or maybe the squirrel has stolen all of the peanuts from the bird feeder again and it just wants you to fill it back up. Until next time, no star.